The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
When Gooch gets back out into the pocket, like, I remember trying to practice this for about 6 months after I was nearly dislocated. He does it two or three times in the first half. It's sensational.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power's Save Our Game. England's goals total 20k so far for Irish football. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
So we're having to endure that most terrible of things, an off day at a major finals, and not just one of them, two of them coming up before the last 16 gets underway on Saturday, and there are some cracking ties to look forward to over the following 4 days. No doubt about the most hyped one, which will be the meeting of England and Germany at Wembley next Tuesday. To talk about England's progress so far, I'm delighted to be joined by a man who played 62 times for England. Chris Waddle is with us. Evening, Chris.
Good evening.
This feels like a very English tournament so far. They have topped their group. They haven't conceded a goal, but also maybe on the verge of some sort of crisis.
Yeah, I think they've done enough. But, you know, the way they're putting it across is they've managed the group well to win it. That was the object. I think Croatia game, they played pretty well. I thought it was a difficult game, but I thought on the day they deserved that 1-0 win. Didn't really turn up against Scotland. Give Scotland credit for their performance. And obviously the other night against Czech Republic, it was fits and starts. For 15 minutes they looked, and they had the tempo about them and they were moving the ball quick. They looked like they were going to add, you know, more than goals they did score. So, but there was a lot of periods in that game where they come off the pace and Czech Republic caused them a few problems. So they haven't got it quite right yet, but they'll be delighted that they've won the group.
What's happened has almost been the reverse of what was predicted in some ways, which was that England have a vast array of attacking talent that could rip apart most teams. But defensively and in goals, there were some question marks, whereas during the three games, actually defensively, they've looked very solid, whereas there have been a lot of questions about Harry Kane, about Phil Foden, Jack Grealish, about who should start, who shouldn't. Do you think that is to do with the way that they're setting up? Is Gareth Southgate setting up to protect that defence?
Not really. I think John Stones obviously saw at Man City this season, so it wasn't in the team. Then all of a sudden he came back a new man and he's carried that form on. Obviously, Lakes McGuay, he played him in an eight, but they've got to still manage him because he's been out a long time. Ming's come in and did very well. And you've got to say Jordan Pickford's played very well. When he's been called upon to keep the ball out of the net, he's done it very well. So, and the fullbacks, they keep chopping and changing, which I don't get. I don't understand that. So defensively, and also you've got Rice and Phillips sitting in front, which are two good players who are strong, physically good, and they can also protect. So I think the concern has been the front four is such, what is the best front four? Normally, as you say, they're scrapping around looking to think who's going to play fullback, who's going to play centre-half. Can't get it right, but they've got it all right. And the problem now is, which normally isn't, is the front four.
So what is his best front four as you see it?
Me personally, I thought Saka did well the other night. I know it was a good game to come in on Czech Republic. I think we're quite happy they qualified, so they weren't really thinking we're in the next round, we're not going home, we're done with job. Yes, we'll have a go at England, but it was a very low key game, and so Saka looked sharp, obviously coming in, you know, he's going to try and grab the shirt, and I think he's done enough to get the shirt against Germany. He'll not drop Harry Kane. Harry Kane, we know, is a quality player. He does look very tired to me. Looks quite leggy. And obviously Sterling scored too, so he's going to keep Raheem Sterling in. And then it becomes obviously Mason Mount having to isolate. Jack Grealish got his chance, but as a 10 really, and Jack probably in his dreams wanted to play as a 10. But I've got to say, I think Jack Grealish is more effective on the left-hand side.
Yeah, it's interesting. John Giles was on today with us as well, and he was saying that Jack Grealish was brilliant and created the goal out in the left-hand side, and when he went out there, he was causing absolute havoc. But when he came back into the middle, into maybe what is his preferred role, as you say, he couldn't quite have the same effect. Does that open a possibility that you could play Grealish on the left and play Phil Foden as a number 10 against Germany?
Yeah, well, the problem then is he's got to leave Raheem Sterling out. or Saka. Saka got man of the match. So I don't think Saka will get left out after that performance. So for all Raheem Sterling's performance, I'm not saying his performance was outstanding. He's the only player who looks like he's going to score a goal for it. And, you know, he's got two. And he's always around that box. He's always trying to get the goals. We know that. But he's so it'd be hard for him to play Grealish on the left. You know, could he say to Raheem Sterling, play as a 10? But I don't think that's Raheem Sterling's game. I think we need Sterling's pace. It's a shortness to it when teams do try and squeeze with. And watching Germany that night against Hungary, the one thing what they haven't got as a team is pace at the back. And Raheem Sterling could really exploit that. So I think he'd go definitely with Sterling. And he may have said to Grealish, if Mount's not available, obviously, he might say to Grealish, you're going to have to play it. But in another way, he could play Bellingham in there and play a three. And let him be a midfield player who wanders around and gets involved in. So he's got other options. But I think he'd give... If Mount's not available, I think he'd give Grealish another chance.
Yeah. Looking at Grealish, that was probably the biggest game of his career so far the other night, and there was so much hype and expectation and talk, and when he did get on the ball, you could see he was always trying to do something. There didn't seem to be any fear at all. When you look at Grealish as a quality attacking player, someone who loved to get on the ball, someone who loved to run at defences, how do you rate him? How highly do you rate Jack Grealish?
Oh, he's an exciting player. I think he's got better with age, as you do. And he's had a good couple of seasons there with Villa, playing basically on the left hand side though. When he picks it up, he's very positive. He likes to lend the ball. He likes little 1-2s, little give and goes. He did ever so well for the goal the other night. We know that. And he draws free kicks in dangerous positions. He gets fouled a lot. He draws people in. He holds onto the ball probably a couple of seconds more than everybody else, so it does encourage people to have a tackle on him. And if he just moves the ball before the tackle arrives, he wins a lot of free kicks. I mean, we're talking about a lot here, which could be, a big part of the game, because it could come down to set pieces, the game against Germany. So I like him, as I see, on the left, because he gets one-on-one with a fullback a lot, and he runs them back, he pushes them back towards their goal. And we've got a lot of talented players, but probably Grealish is the best at doing that.
A lot of the talk throughout the tournament has been on Harry Kane and the fact that he's looked a little bit leggy at times, and he hasn't scored a goal yet and really hasn't had any chances so far across the three games. It's not like he's missing them either. Do you think it's something Gareth Southgate is spending a lot of time having to think about, what he does with Harry Kane? Can he drop Harry Kane, or is it straightforward? You just have to trust that at some stage his talent is going to shine through during this tournament.
Yeah, I think it's about that. I think he's captain as well. You can't keep taking it. You can't really, you nominate your captain. Your captain normally is you want one player who you think, well, I'm going to play him every game. He's my captain. And he's took him off in a couple of games, but rightly so. He hasn't been performing. You've got to, if you're the one who's going to put the ball in the back of net and you're not doing it, then it's not long before they say, we've got to change it. Mm-hmm. And but I still think you'll go with him again. And if he's obviously not performing as the game goes on, yes, you could see him coming off and, whether Rashford, Calvert-Lewin, someone of that sort of player will come on and take his role. But I think he'll go along with him. I think Harry at times is, there's a lot of debate about him coming too deep at times. And I don't think he's come as much deep. That's how he plays at Tottenham. And it's up to the players to run behind him. When the centre-halves don't come, he gets the ball, he can turn, he can link the play. I think he's trying too hard, in fact. I mean, the first three balls the other night against the Czech Republic, he tried three cross-field passes, really difficult passes, and they got cut out. And you thought, just play simple for it. Just get your confidence going. And the goal's coming. He had one good chance, which was a great save by the goalkeeper of the Czech Republic first half. But as I say, he's always played like that, and it's up to other players to run off him. But I can see where Gareth was thinking, to win a tournament, you need your goal scorer to be firing. And it's apart from Raheem Sterling, there's nobody looks like putting the ball in it.
I'm sure there were moments, Chris, not many of them during your career, where maybe there was a dip in form. When you talk about Harry Kane there at times trying too hard, how do you work through that? Is it the right word at the right time for a manager, or is it just a ball bouncing in off his backside and a bit of confidence comes back?
Yeah, that's it. Just he's a goal scorer, Harry, so he just anything, listen, it comes off his shoulder, whatever, it comes off his knee and it goes in. That's what he wants, to get the confidence. it's basically just saying to him, look, you can't really tell Harry Kane. Now, he's been playing the game a long time. He's, you know, you're basically just saying, look, go out there, do what you're good at, go and enjoy it, and don't think about things. Don't get, you know, don't think I've got to do this and I've got to do that, because you're putting pressure on yourself. You want him really just to go out there, relax, go and play his game, and you will see, you know, just play like you play. And confidence is a key word. And, you know, all this bit of criticism you'll be getting from the media, from the fans, it may be, you know, getting to him a little bit, but he's been around long enough now for him to say, look, I'm just going to go out there, I'm going to play my game. If I get the chances, hopefully they'll go in. If they don't, I'll keep working at it. And if he has to eventually lose his shirt to another player, you know, he can't really turn around and say, no, that's wrong, I shouldn't have been dropped, because he's judged on, if Gary Lineker wasn't scoring goals and Alan Shearer wasn't scoring goals, he would have said, you've got to change your centre-forward.
Mm.
And that is a role. You know, he's not one of them players who's a midfield player or a winger who's trying to create. You know, he's the one who's putting the ball in the net forward most of the time. So if it's not happening, unfortunately, if you're not scoring the goals and that's your job, you will lose your shirt eventually.
You mentioned that base that Declan Rice and Calvin Phillips provide, and particularly in that first game against Croatia, Calvin Phillips seemed to have a bit more freedom to roam forward. Ooh. And obviously made a key intervention for the first goal. We've seen him stay alongside Declan Rice a bit more in the subsequent games. Do they need that base? Do they need both of those players to provide the protection for the defence? Or could Declan Rice do that job by himself and actually free up that extra midfield role for a more creative presence?
You could. I mean, people are saying, why don't they play Mount and Grealish in there with Rice or with Phillips? I just think Gareth likes this. You know, they do push the fullbacks on quite a lot, England. And I think he does like that bit of security. The two holding midfielder players who can, you know, if the centre-half gets drawn to the wing, they can drop in to become a centre-half, and the other one can go and obviously press the ball a bit. So he does like that. And I've got to say, Declan Rice at West Ham does make runners forward a lot more than he does for England. You know, it's the old one. It's thinking, you know, yeah, I'm going to go. You can see a ball going down the wing. You think, I'm going. You can say to Phillips, I'm going. I may score. I'm going in the box. And you've got, yeah, he's got the legs and the energy to get back anyway. I'd like to see them be a bit more. As you see, Cal Phillips in the first game did really go forward and ran past Kane and came onto Kane a lot, where the next two games he didn't ever get forward again. And Phillips is a great passer of the ball, so when he does get it off the back three, back four, he can, you know, hit it 50, 40 yard passes. He's very good at that. He does it at Leeds every week. He is more creative than what he's probably shown in an England shirt at the minute. But, you know, it's the old school for me. You know, if a midfield player goes, the other one sits. There's no reason. You know, Phillips can go and join in. And he is a talented footballer. So it's not like saying, well, we need Grealish and Mount, because Phillips can do things on the ball. So he just needs that little bit more confidence and that little bit more freedom to say, yeah, go join in. Declan Rice is sitting. And if Declan Rice goes forward, you sit. It's not rocket science.
Mm. It'll be a very different game as well on Tuesday than what they've had so far, you'd have to expect. Like, Germany, their last two matches have been a bit helter-skelter. While they're playing three at the back and they're playing the wing-backs, they're not afraid to bomb players forward. The three teams England have played so far have more or less sat back and tried to invite England and say, show us what you got, create something. Actually, when you look at that pace that Raheem Sterling has and Kane potentially dropping deep and releasing them, that may suit far better against a team like Germany who'll come to play than the teams we've seen them face so far.
But it's going to be interesting. I mean, Joachim Löw is saying that you'll see a different Germany at Wembley. Listen, they've had a funny start as well. You know, they lost the first game to France and didn't really play well. They played really well against Portugal, really well. And then, obviously, I watched the Hungary game. And Hungary, you know, took the lead twice, couldn't hold on. We know Hungary like to sit back and make it really difficult for you. And Germany, as Germany do, they push people on, they move the ball, they keep plugging away, and they got the reward with a draw, which obviously gets them through to play England. But they, listen, this is not a German side of years where, you know, like the one was in Brazil and maybe after that. This is a sort of a changing period now in German football. You know, the new ones are coming through, and the BSC centre, the older players, look, this is our last tournament, we're still good enough to win it. Maybe we're not as strong as we've been over the years, but we have still got a chance. And they'll believe coming to England, the pressure's on England. It's at Wembley. It's Germany. Obviously, you know, England fans really get pumped up about it. So, you know, they'll be coming in thinking, look, this is a free pass for us. We can go there and relax and go and play. And if England get beat, they're going to get the criticism. We'll get the praise. If we get beat, people will say England's better than Germany at the minute. So they've got no pressure. Again, for me, this is a free hit at England. I don't think, you know, I don't think many people are tipping Germany to beat England. So, and because of all the games England have had at Wembley, you know, another home game, people are saying, you know, not going to get a better chance to win this tournament with all the games at Wembley. So I think Germany will come in. It'll be interested to see what he plays. He is worried about the pace of Sterling and Saka if he plays, or Foden if he plays. They will be weary of that because this back three do play very wide and there's a lot of gaps down the sides. And if you want to run in behind, you can get away from Hummels and that. They're not the quickest. That is a concern. Will we see a different Germany where they'll sit back and try and hit England on the break and make it more tactical? So he said we're going to see a different Germany. So we'll see.
It is tournament football as well, and you know, you only have to look at Portugal in 2016, who didn't even win a game in the group stage and went on to win the tournament. You don't have to hit the ground running. You can make your way slowly into it. And even, I suppose, when you look back at 1990, you were in the same group as the Republic of Ireland. I don't think anyone thinks it was a classic group stage for anybody involved. It was a case of simply getting through it as one of the three teams. As a player, when all the talk on the outside around England seems to be that they haven't hit top gear and there's questions about whether Southgate knows his starting 11, as we say, questions about Harry Kane's form of fitness. How difficult, when you're in tournament mode, is it as a player to blank all that and actually say, you know what, job done, top of group, we're in the last 16, we feel we're on the right track?
Well, I'm going to go off what I was obviously 1990. We drew Ireland, drew with Holland, we beat Egypt 1-0, Mark Wright head, that's a piece. But we were sort of, yeah, we're probably getting a bit of stick and everybody's saying, you know, yeah, they'll get through, but then they'll get knocked out. And we just basically kept focusing on what the job ahead was and took each game as it comes. And I know they're all football cliches, but it's true. And when we got through, we said, this is it. You know, you lose, you go home. Mm. And that was what, you know, the group games, everybody's a bit tense because you don't want to lose, because you think, oh, no, if we lose that, we're chasing the games. You know, it becomes a little bit nerve. You do get a lot of nerves, I think, in the qualifying. And we've seen that with a lot of teams. But now you know, if you lose your next game, you are going home. And it's so you're going in this game saying, come on, we've got to win this game, we've got to perform, you know, because we are going to go home. It's not we've got another group game for a chance, we've got another group game for a chance. No, that's gone now. You know now, England, you lose to Germany, you know, that's it. You'll probably have 2 weeks off and you've got to get back to your club to start pre-season training. So the players know now exactly what the tournament's about.
And they also know the route to the final. And suddenly, much like in 2018, it's a very lopsided draw where we have France, Spain, Italy, Belgium, Portugal all on the one side. If England beat Germany, and I know a lot of the English media will be accused of getting carried away at this stage. If they beat Germany, which they've got to do, you play Sweden or Ukraine in a quarter final, and then on the other side, you have the Dutch, Czech Republic, Wales, Denmark. Right now, England look to be in a decent position.
Yeah, definitely. The draw is the hardest game when you look at the draw that way. But saying that, we know Denmark are always hard to play against, and obviously the when Christian Eriksen incident was obviously a terrible incident that happened, and obviously Denmark then have got themselves back together. You know, they're on a mission now. You know, they beat Russia to get through. They'd lost the first two games to Belgium, you know, and you know, you just thought, wow, Denmark, you know, I thought these would be one of them outside teams where you thought these are dangerous and they could get to the quarter semis. I think they'll be really pumped up again. As I said, Wales will find it very difficult against them. I don't see Wales coming through that personally. But and then, as you say, Holland, nobody's talking about Holland, and they're scoring goals, which is the hardest part of football. Yes, they don't look the best at the back, but if you can score 2-3 goals every game, you've got a fair chance of winning matches. So if them two go through, which I expect Holland and Denmark, England to play probably Sweden, Ukraine. I can't say Sweden not beating Ukraine. You know, but we always struggle. I think England always struggle against Scandinavian teams. We find it really hard to play against them because their game's modelled on basically the English game. So They'd be, you know, they're no gimmies, but you would think, well, if you could get Holland or Denmark in a semi-final, you would fancy your chances, really.
Mm. When you saw it was Germany in the last 16, did you think, Christ, here we go again, the phone starts buzzing. Tell me about 1990, tell me about the penalty. Is that going to be your life for the next 4 days?
Probably. Well, the good thing about it is Gareth Southgate missed one in 96 and he's manager, so I think he'll take the spotlight now. I think Gareth will be getting a lot of that question in the build-up to this game.
Did that actually make a big difference to your life, that you were no longer the last one, that Gareth Southgate came, and when a penalty shootout comes around, he was the guy everyone turned to rather than you?
No, not really. I think people still remember. You know, at the end of the day, it was a semi-final. You know, we don't get the semi-finals every tournament. We don't, you know, we haven't won anything since 66, so it'll always come up. But yeah, with Gareth being the manager, and as you say, at Wembley, playing Germany, you know, that will be shown, you know, every day now for the next, till Tuesday. And on the match day, it'll be shown probably for every news programme, every programme what's talking about the Euros, it'll be shown. So Gareth's going to see a lot of that pen. Yes, and they might show mine a few times, I suppose. I should have bought copyright on it.
You'd be a rich man.
I would be. Listen, I hope it doesn't go to him, because if it did go to pens, which, listen, it could, I'm not saying it couldn't, you know, there'd be a lot of nervous players out there, because they'd all be thinking of, you know, the crowd would be on edge, because they'd think, oh, here we go again, it's Germany, they've beat with twice on it, and, you know, you'd get a lot of people thinking, oh, no, here we go again. But, listen, hopefully it doesn't go that far, and England can put a performance on over the 90 minutes and win it.
I'm sure Gareth Southgate will be saying that there's a lot of practicing of penalties and trying to put pressure on each other around those penalties. Had you practiced in 1990?
No.
It just wasn't the thing.
I've only took four pens in my life. So it was, you know, it was Gareth's pen originally, but we saw the state of Paul. You know, he wasn't in the best of ways. He obviously was too upset to take one, and Bobby Robson just said, will anybody take Gareth? And to be fair, there was no way to put the hands up. So I'd enjoyed the game. I felt I played well in the game. I really enjoyed the game. I was really on a high. I liked it. I was enjoying it. And I thought, yeah, I'll take it. You know, not being a penalty taker, I just thought, yeah, I'll take it. And obviously when you're walking up there, I know people say, what's it like? You don't really think of anything, you know. You just think, oh, it's a pen, you go down, you put the ball down, and obviously I hit it, and I hit it too hard, and I hit it too well, and away it went. So it's something, you know, you think, well, you know, I took it, and you put your hands up, yeah, you miss. And I mean, you look at this tournament so far, I think there's been about 9 pens, and I think there's been about 6 missed. It's getting more and more pressurised situation now. The goalkeeper cannot lose. At the end of the day, you know, if you miss, the goalie saves it, he can't lose. Everybody expects you to score. But, you know, if everybody scored a pen, they wouldn't have shootouts. It would be a waste of time. So that makes the exciting part of the game. They've never come up with another idea which would take the pressure away from the pens. There's no other way. You kind of keep playing until they find another way. Unfortunately, we'll have drama and we'll have tears.
Mm. Do you think that practicing penalties can make a difference? That there's something they can do in these next 3 or 4 days that will make them more composed when they do make that long walk up from the halfway line?
Well, I know England do practice them, and I know Harry Kane. I think penalty takers do practice them, and you know, in training, so they do. So if you look at England's team, I'm sure they've got 5 penalty takers who do take them at their clubs, or second, if you know, there might be somebody else takes them, but if he's not playing, he takes them. So, you know, like we had Gary Lineker takes them, Peter Beardsley took them, you know, David Platter took them, Stuart Pearce was a penalty taker at Nottingham Forest. So we had sort of 4 who did take them at their clubs. So, you know, but yeah, I'm sure they'll practice a bit, but there's nothing, you know, the occasion, the moment, you can't put that onto a training ground. You know, you've got a style. It's again, people say the same things, but it's true. Pick a spot, know what you're going to do, and you hit it. And if he saves it or you miss it, well, you had a plan and it didn't work.
Thanks for going through it once again with us, Chris. I'm sure you're going to have to talk about it a few more times. Give us your prediction then for what you think will happen on Tuesday, and actually what you think will happen for England then as the tournament goes on.
Well, I think it's a beat Germany. I've got to say they've got a very good chance. As I said, this is not a German side. But listen, they'll cause problems, Germany. They've got some talented players. They've got some very good players. Still good players. I just think their defence is very suspect, and I think England will get 4, 5, 6 good chances. Now, if they take them, I'm sure Germany will create chances as well. But I'm just going to go England to win this, the way the defence is playing, and with the chances England should get, I'm just going to think England's going to nick this probably 2-1. And then after that, obviously, it could be Denmark or Holland in the semis. That is a hard one to call. But listen, if it can beat Germany, they'll be a little bit like we were in 1990 when we looked at the draw and we thought, yeah, we got Germany in the semis. But we knew, even then, we thought if we beat Germany, we've got a fair chance of winning the World Cup. Unfortunately, we didn't beat Germany. And England will be thinking the same. If they can beat Germany on Tuesday, there's not a stronger team in England left on this side of the group.
All right. A lot to look forward to over the next couple of weeks. Chris, great to talk to you as always.
Enjoy the next few weeks.
Take it easy.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power's Save Our Game. Donating at least 100,000 to Irish football via England Goals this summer. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.